This is Love Seal Church, bearing the tidings of the blessed hope and the glorious liberty of the sons of God. We earnestly pray that you experience a breaking forth in the quantum leap into all the promises of God for you. Gird up the loins of your mind and heart as you obtain mercy to find grace by the word of God coming through God's own servant at this time to you. Be ready for great impartation of the Spirit and life. Happy listening.
Jesus, today we lift up our eyes to heaven, to you, to our God, to our source, to our life. For the pattern given to all men by the Father. For the promise of life given to all men. As hope, as future, as thoughts, as purpose, as intention, as profession, as pursuit, as business. We love you, Jesus. I want you. We want to have you. We want to have you. We want to have you. We want to be like you. We want to see you. We want to see you. We want a change, a transformation. Our fashioning that come because we behold you. We want to awake with your likeness. Thank you today for this meeting, for this conference, for this month, for your intention to beam your light, to show your face, to beam your face upon us. That will awake another man, another people. Thank you for the transferring of your throne, of your reign, of your glory and life to the face of the earth through men. Thank you. Thank you for today. Our location for today, I receive in the name of Jesus. I assess that which is in your heart today. Jesus, righteous one, I assess the realities in your heart. We receive grace for utterance and grace to hear and blessings upon everyone today. We appreciate you, Jehovah. We give glory and honor to your name. Thank you. Thank you. Ever thank you. Whoever praise you, thank you. Thank you. Our hearts sing your praise. Thank you. Thank you, our Father. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
It's quite clear that the season we are in is a season of when God is commanding life should begin to reign. Or that his people will begin to reign in life. Like that season, it's not every time that people can reign in life. You can't command just anybody to say reign in life. No, you can't command it. You must have journeyed somewhere before God can give commandment that life will have to reign. Why would life have to reign? Because sin also reigned. Sin didn't stop as sin because of the nature of sin. Sin is a nature that fell out from a cherub. A cherub fell into transgression and sin was activated. In the world of microbiology, you know, and you're talking about viruses. Viruses are at the state can become non-living. When it's outside the host, can be called non-living because it's not exhibiting anything of life. That same thing that seems to have no life can kill a whole country. It's not exhibiting any character of life. When you look at it, it looks like a crystal. Very tiny, nearly unseen crystal like that. And that's why it is host specific. You only kind of find any virus that attack too many things. No. It is sent to kill one host. It be activated to cause any problem until it find the blood of its host. God is host specific. Once it land in its host, the monster begin to exhibit all kind that you are wondering, what is this? So that's how some of these tiny things. Sin is a tiny spirit. How many times you don't see it? When you say sin, it's works of the flesh, it's effect. That's why you want to treat those viral diseases. You don't treat them, you can't treat them. You manage the crisis they bring. If the person can survive the crisis they bring, they will kill themselves. That's why you have flu and it goes by itself. If you can manage flu and it doesn't result in fever, Doesn't resolve in other things that break down your immunity and open to something else. Flu will grow by itself. The what kills people is not the flu, it's what it causes. What it empowers, it legislates other things. Sick, fever, start acting. Start feeling headache. Tommy, start running. It starts signaling to everything. Himself is there, but if you can manage all his trouble, he will kill himself. Once that thing found man, because it was supposed to be alien to man's nature, immediately found man, he found a place to prosper. So it didn't stop until it began to rain. Sin rained from Adam, and it reached to all men. For as one man sin have entered into the world, and death by sin, death became a companion that sin opened the door for. Sin itself cannot kill anybody. But you see, it can open the door for death. It doesn't work alone. He has a brother that helped him achieve his intention. He wants to kill, doesn't have the power. So he goes with his twin brother. Once you open the door for him, the door is enough for his brother to enter. And when his brother enters, his brother is a ruler. So death reigned. Can you see that? Death reigned. But sin is not imputed when there was no law. Nevertheless, can you see? Death reigned. From Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned, under the similitude. Once he can cross your gene. Because he likes human blood. Sin doesn't want to live human blood. He likes the place. It reigned after the similitude of Adam's transgression. Who is the figure of him that was to come? But in church, we can't do away with sin issue. Because the reason why Christ came is because of that sin. What could not be handled by any other thing that gave him the law? He saw the law. He just morphed. He morphed and became more wicked. When you give an antibiotic that is not specific to a pathogen, he just morphed. He will just do as if he's going. He goes to acquire more strength. So when you use the antibiotic again, he just that one yesterday, the one you used yesterday, I used it. So he came in and used the law and licked it, made it worse. So what you got from it is stiff-necked people. Those who were strong enough to stone their Savior, and they were not going to tick twice. They stoned him and they stayed with him until he died. They didn't stone him and run away. That's why religion is a very bad thing. Religion is the spirit that sin produces. Can make you do things against God that you never thought about. And you'll be zealous, full of energy. So, the whole program of Jesus coming is to ensure that sin that has power to reign through death is cut short, and which is only possible when life reigns. If life does not reign, sin can be repressed. It's not cut short. It means to be revived and become worse. So because the very high spirit that fell from a very high domain, there's no trusted nature of life that can handle him. So even other angels are afraid of sin. They are very careful. Because that thing that caught Lucifer can catch any one of them. So each time they see Lucifer, they behave themselves. It's an outlaw person who wants more to join him. They don't harass him. They are careful around him just because of what he has. He has sin. So if you're going to take care of someone who has leprosy, you're very, very careful. So even if God even have to do things that have to do with them meeting him, they are very careful. In contesting against the body of Moses, they were very, very careful. They didn't stand against it. They said, "The Lord rebuked thee." The Lord rebuked thee. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuked thee. So the Lord is opening our eyes more and more every day to see that this promise can be received and can be enabled to reign. Romans chapter 5, by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. The law entered that the offense may abound. So when you have laws, anytime you engage it with laws that is lesser than the law that can deal with him, it makes offense to do what? Abound. It will make transgression to abound. And that's why Paul said, does it mean the law is not evil? No, the law is good. Only that when sin see the law, it take occasion of the law and make it more exceedingly sinful. So sin can move from sin to exceeding. We change gear. So the law was seemed to be clearing sin very soon, yesterday. But today, Sin just morph to exceeding sinfulness, so that sin cannot handle him anymore. So by that, we saw sin and offenses multiply. Verse 20, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, and where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Grace did much more abound, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. And that's one of the allegations against Paul, that Paul is not taking care of the sins of the Gentiles. Because Paul was not using the law. The law is a fast instrument that makes things look good. When you bring laws in, you quickly do adjustment. We look holy. Once we look holy to ourselves, we have a self-righteousness, and we establish that other as life. We lose the energy to go forward. And that's why Jesus Christ is clear. He said you don't cleanse what is outside the platter. You first of all go inside, cleanse the inside. Then you now know how you should cleanse the outside. But sometimes you can misinterpret what is outside and be scrubbing the cup. You are seeing it there. Don't know that that thing is inside. The cup itself is spoiled. But when you cleanse inside, you will know the extent of what you need to cleanse outside. Sometimes outside is just few things outside. The bulk of whatever there is in the inside. So Paul's understanding of grace is such that he knew what grace can do from the inside. He wasn't going to the Gentile world to start telling them they are wrong. He said, all have sinned, both Jews and Gentile, and have come short of the glory of God. So the Jews are not better. No, they were a little bit nearer. But what they were as near was still very far away. But they were ahead of the Gentiles in nearness to God. So they were nearer. But through the blood, all of that differences has been canceled. As condemned, as all men have sinned, that the original sin of Adam was not taken care by the law. So return all of us to the same place. So both who have the piety outside and those who have the rugged outside, the same. That was a blow on the Jewish people. Everything about the nation is built around the law of Moses. So to condemn everything about Moses like that one, they can't understand it. Up till now, the blindness upon them. You can't see how God can look away from that old thing. But God knows that. He can't cleanse the inside. From the inside proceeded all kinds of wickedness. All kinds of iniquity. So there's no legacy you have by birth in terms of moral that means anything. Because you can't handle sin. So grace work from the inside. So they said to Paul that Paul approved sin. That Paul said, let us sin that grace may abound. Keep on doing what you are doing. Paul is saying that sometimes we may have to look away from what sin is doing to go inside. We may have to bypass it. Because it can tie us down and deceive us. And we'll be doing a lot of work outside. And it won't allow us to go inside. And the problem is from inside. So that short wisdom of looking away from sin made them feel like let sin abound. So that grace may abound. And Paul said, God forbid. Say, God forbid. God forbid. But that if God accepted us in the beloved with our sins, we ought to accept others also. Because we are not cleansed by just our effort. It's the work of grace that does that. And that has to be understood very well. Really speaking. It's a lot of wisdom there. It's a lot of wisdom to understand. Because if you don't have the wisdom, you can be indulgent. The church just look away from every wrong. Some people's wrongs should not be looked away from. They should be confronted face to face. Instead, when it comes to older people who are in church who have been there for a long time, that we have expectation from, we don't overlook their wrong. Paul says you confront them and put to their face. What we put to their face as issue, we may see somebody else and look away from it. And is the church partial? No, wisdom. Wisdom. To know that the one who has been there for a long time should be an example. And if we approve a thing wrong with him, it's like that's the life we live. But those who are just coming should be welcome, no matter how they are. So that they can receive the work of grace in their heart. Ultimately, all of us needs a journey to when grace will reign by righteousness. Then sin and death will no more be a problem. What is confronting our families or the earth is not sin. It's sin and death. It's what the inherited is troubling us. It has cast blindness on us. We can't even see what is right. And trying to do what is right, we're doing more of what is wrong. By grace are you saved through faith. It's not of yourself. What is it?
The gift of God.
So, for that job to be done, it's clear that what God said to man, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion. As at the time that man was made, he has life. But that life does not have power over death. Let us make him in an image that will express dominion and cannot be dominated over. So God already has something in the future for man. This man, we got a future where hell and death will not be able to bring him down. But the first expression of creation of man, the man that man fell. It means the living soul man. But the living soul, actually, is a spirit. Those who say man is dual are blind. Man is not dual. Man is tripartite. Man is a spirit, a soul, and a body. So living soul is a spirit. How did living soul come to be? Breath. What's breath? Spirit. A spirit. So man is a spirit. The living soul is what? It's a spirit. Man is a spirit. Man is the last on that rung of creatures who are spirits. But the spirit that now has body, other spirits don't have our body. That's why they don't have the right to live on the earth. Other spirits, they don't have our body. They are spirit and they should be in the spiritual world, not in the physical world. If they are here, they are here on man's permission. And that's why it was not take man to drive them out of this world. God will not send out demons. It is you that will send out demons. That's one of the signs in the basic of new birth, that shall cast out devils. Do you understand what the madman of Gadara was doing? He was buying time. Thou son of God. If a son of God is saying that you should be a spirit, you should not cast me out. It is a son of man. This is a prophet. How can a demon say he's a son of God? He didn't want him to cast him out. So Jesus knew that thing, knew that craft. He cast out that spirit. He cast him out not as God. He cast him out as man. Because man is the one who has the right to cast out devils. And that God has to make Jesus a mystery person. How Jesus of Nazareth was anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power. Son of God is not anointed. He's anointing himself. So Jesus came with that fiber of a man and God. So he has that part of him that is anointed by the Holy Ghost and with power. So it was just like you and me, right? Who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. But we know that the Son of God, it's not that God was with him. God was in him. You know that? You see that? This being here, God was with him. Like he said, I will be with you always. So he was standing here as an apostle that is of the man's side. Not yet like the Son of God. Discovered in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. See how that God was in Christ. Reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their sins to them. God was in Christ. God was not with Christ. So that man Christ is a confusion. There's something about him that God was in, which was manifested after his death to reconcile the world, right? But that physical man, Jesus Christ, on the right, it was also Jesus who was anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power because God was with him. So he could cast out devils. And ultimately, God was in him, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their sins to them. He has given to us the ministry. He has committed to us the word of reconciliation or the ministry of reconciliation. So in that ministry, it means that it is an indwelling thing. It's no more being with. It's being in. So we're seeing how God intends to deal with sin through Christ. And that's why when you move in there, everything changed from the outside anointing to an inward walking. The work becomes inside. Now you need to have eyes of understanding and light to be able to see it, or else you won't see it going on. You are just sitting down there and work is going on. Nobody is going to see it. There's a part of our life, a stage of our life growth in which things are easily seen. You repented from your sin. Everybody knows it. You get born again, everybody knows it. You receive the Holy Ghost, but this everybody knows it. That night, everybody was in trouble. Everywhere, halaba. And you spend that day. You move to another season, everybody about your life is still. By yourself, you're asking yourself, what is wrong with me? There's no more same thing happening outside anymore. They have moved the work inside. They have moved all their machines, their tools. They have moved inside. Because the work to be done is in the inside. So God had to fulfill his promise of making man after his image. God really, when he was made, I was talking about the man was made spirit. Is the last rung of the spirit, right? The last rung of the spirit. That's why it's called, oh, my soul. My soul is the last rung of the spirit. Anything behold, oh, my soul, is not a spirit. I don't know animals are soul. I don't know that. They have soul that they don't account for. God doesn't deal with their soul. Their soul passes down. That's why you don't allow animals to bite you. They don't have punishment. You know what I'm saying? They have been punished by being an animal. They don't give account. Their soul is not accountable. Soul is not accountable. They are just meant to pass away. Every soul that give account are all spirits. Every soul. So it's actually very wrong to say that we are soul. If you say you are soul, then you are not aware of the new creation man. That's why every religion, after the order of the past, deal with man as soul and body, right? All religion is, man is soul and body. So we are spirit. We are in the last rung of the spirit. So that man does not have the image of God. He has the image of man. He has the image of all of them from God himself down to the last rung. They are image beings. They have their images. That's why Satan can give his image to the beast. So he has image. He can transfer it to the beast. The Antichrist is going to actually come to legitimize the image of the beast and make it a common image that man can access easily. But if you leave man to keep growing in sin, it takes a long time to reach image of the beast. So he's going to have a son that will have the power of prophesying to make men to quickly acquire the image. Through the image, they will have the mark. And they will have everything about the beast in their forehead, lastly. That's the fast work that will be done very soon. Men will be sealed easily. That's how long it's taken God to seal man. In the gospel, for years, to seal man is not easy. But very soon, the enemy is going to adopt the system how he can seal man easily. Once he can raise his son with that image. For all long time, he has not raised a son with image. When you hear that, Satan filled the heart of Judas, not with an image. You can have understanding of Satan and not yet have his image. His image is the figure of his inner nature. It's a branding of his inner nature. And for many years, he couldn't achieve it. But now he has learned how to raise a son. Why? Because God raised a son. He doesn't know how to raise a son. He has been wondering now how to raise a son. He couldn't raise a son. He couldn't raise the one son. He couldn't raise a son with an image. He couldn't raise Cain. Though Cain was of the wicked one. He wasn't carrying the image. Or else the world would have been finished. Once image show up, that's the end of the world. Not even Nimrod. Nimrod has capacity to hunt men from God's presence. Man who has made journey to presence. Presence is a long distance. Presence. Not church. Presence. He has the skill, the power to hunt men out of the place. Yet without image. So you now know what image means. Image is authority and investiture of nature. It's full nature transfer. It's like Obimo. It's not easy to burn Pekin. To burn Pekin is to burn the Pekin with image. That's the proper Pekin. There are angels that have likeness without image. Most of the angels of Revelation, they are angels with likeness. Michael, like God. They have likeness. It means they can show, they can demonstrate. They are formed to demonstrate. They don't have the inner nature. So they can't bat another like themselves. They use that likeness to do what God intends for them to do. They signify Jesus. Those angels that signify Jesus, they don't have image. They have likeness. They can say, I am Alpha. They can do that job of representing without image. So you have angels like that. Angels of likeness. Many of them are with likeness, not with image. Like all the elves angels are angels of likeness. They are not angels of image. So image is very, very important. Image is the seed life for replication. And that's why in the assault of the Western world against humanity now, they're trying to remove seed life. So you don't have fruit without seed. That's wickedness. It is low life. In the biotic world, it's low life. It's a low life that is without a spermaceid. That means that is low. As the plant world begins to emerge from low esteem to higher ones, you start seeing them differentiating into seed being. So all animals have seed. So when you don't have seed, it's a sense of a low life. Or their seed is in them. God made them with their seed in them for procreation of their like. So God doesn't have to come in by themselves. They produce their kind. Which is the essence of sonship, is to produce the kinds. And kinds are locked up in images. So because of that, I like that. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass and herbs, yielding seed. That's a higher form of life. And the fruitful yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself, upon the earth. And it was so, and the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after its kind. That's it. And the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself, after its kind. And God saw it. And God said, wow. That's it. So what God did there in plant life is what he had in mind to do through man. That man will be able to pick up a higher image. Man can drop his image and pick a higher image. Man was the only one made like that. And Adam lived in 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image, that's fallen image, and called his name Seth. So image is what God gave to both his own as a throne. Angels don't have it. Many of them don't have it. Then to man. Give the man image. So a man will be able to produce after his kind. The number of angels that God created still remains the number. They are either in free world or they are in bondage. But number has not increased till they were created. Millions of angels, the same day they were created, they were like that. Either they are free today or they are in everlasting chains. There are some angels who are programmed not in chain, but kept for a season. An angel can be in creation for millions of years just for a season. Like that angel that stood between the earth and the earth, and put his feet between the heaven and the earth and saw. That was the first time that angel would walk. And it was made and kept for that season. And they won't say, God, why do you make me? Why are you keeping me? They understand it. They understand order. That there are times and seasons for every performance. That's why when I see all of that, I don't know life is useless. If today looks like your off season, you are not useless. In the time of the fullness of time, there will be manifestation. Man, you don't have to be everywhere, every day. No, it should be a time of keeping. Sometimes pastor will keep you. He doesn't hate you, he keeps you. To unleash you. If you're not careful, you will be angry. Why are they keeping me now? They don't know I'm there to... No. They don't want to burn out. If you burn outside your season, you will be destroyed. It's more profitable to hear, to listen, than to speak. And when you are listening, you are being kept. You are being fortified for a time of release. Man is the last one that wrong. That's the whole my soul. And the whole my soul was made with an image. You know, when Jesus Christ came to the world there, he came to the world and actually, it's not easy to preach Jesus without revelation. That man that came down is not God. He was his man. And then he came down from heaven, he became man. That baby that was born in the manger was not God. Say Jesus is God. How did he become God? So someone will now say, oh, it was God that was born. No, it was not God that was born. It was a man that was born. A man that was born partook of flesh like us and partook of soul like us. Though the soul has not sinned, but the soul can be seen, can sin. The soul did not sin, but the soul can sin. So that means that he identified with us and went through our awful temptation. So it means there's nothing you are feeling in doing wrong that he didn't feel. But he knew no sin. And so when he came in here, he came as a man to do only one thing. To see how man can change from the image of the fallen nature and take on the image of the Father. So when we say he came from heaven to earth to show the way from the earth to the cross, my debts were paid from the cross to the From the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name. So it's clear that one thing he came to do is open the way so that man will know, the fallen soul will know how to move. Not more from the living soul, from the fallen soul, and how to change grade until he picks on to himself the promised image. He didn't only get that. He went ahead and took on a higher image. There's an image promised to man. There's an image that God is himself. So when you look at Hebrews chapter 1, God who has sorry time and endeavors, man has spoken time past to the Father, through the fathers by the prophet, at in this last day spoken to us by his Son, whom he had appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, that word I like Yoruba say, itanso means full it. So it means that God can keep his glory, can tone it down. But he's saying that when God is full it, when God full it his glory, each time God sends angels to the world here, angels have to tone down their glory so they can convey their message. If they come with the fullness of their glory, you can't be at them. You can't. We will pass out. So they lit it down. And they sometimes come as man and talk like man. It's when you do something that contradicts their whatever, you now see the manifest. Like they did for Zechariah. The angel came like a man and said, told him, I came from God, all of that. And this will come to pass. And he said, how will I know? They say you are a priest. And every priest must have knowledge. Not Zechariah, I'm talking to. I am Gabriel. That stand in God's presence. And because you doubt my word, not God's word, you doubt my word, you won't be able to speak until this child comes forth. He didn't still lit his glory there. He uses his authority. If he lit his glory, he can't be it. Sometimes you have to understand that with ourselves also. Sometimes they won't allow this about to be lit. Sometimes they do it to help you. They help you because if you see sometimes before you mature to be to undo glory, you will not continue easily. So they say, be clothed with humility. Humility is what clothes that glory. So it doesn't get your eyes and blind you. Some of you here, you are as tall as 20 feet in the spirit. Some of you are 100 feet tall. While some are 2 feet. That's the truth. But we all have the same average height. They don't show that to you all the time. Sometimes they can even show your enemy or show people around you to be careful with you. They won't show you. And so help you to maintain your walk, your gaze, and your press. So you don't take yourself. Feel one day I've told you, you have dissolved the whole world. In 1998, the Lord appeared to me. I was in my dream that morning. It was an unusual morning. I saw presence. I saw glory. It was an unusual day. They don't want us to live like that. That's why you don't see those things in the epistle like that one. It blinds eyes. So here we are, who being the brightness, the fullness of his glory, and the express image. This is not just image. It's express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power when he had by himself purged our sin. Sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he had by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. This is the highest glory of the Son. He was introducing here the Son in his highest glory and also in his highest image. That's what Jesus went for. Because attaining here is attaining his original status before he came to the world. He must go back to that original status. John 17, and O Father, glorify thou me with thy own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. That's glory before creation. There's glory before the world was. Means before the world was intended in being created. Not even in when the word was, before the word was intended. Before the word was, both outside creation or what was in God. There's the glory that the word has before the word was. Jesus had captured a glory.
before he was asking for this glory. So what they were describing in Hebrews 1 there is the glory that was before the world was. And to show that he didn't just take it, he ascended to it. He walked into it. God wouldn't just give it to him, though it looked like a reward. That's right. Reward also is still walking away. You know, his work are before him, and his reward with him. So we always feel that when we finish the work, they will give us reward. Reward itself is the kind of work. You still need to do a walking in obedience to get the reward. That's why they don't just give reward after the work is done. They give a time after you have done the will of God. You need a patience. So patience itself is work. Let patience have a perfect work. Patience is not a moment of just, no. Patience is work. To be qualified for a thing and to be to wait and never to act like you already have it. You need the type of behavioral thing. There's a tendency that you have finished your exam from school. Wow! First degree under my feet. But in glory, they say, you must not have sat under your feet. You are in the school of patience. No man does that. Because after the works is patience. So works before him is reward with him. But patience is the work after work is done that qualifies for reward. I love the apostles. How they understood the dynamics. You have the need of patience. After you have done the will of God, that's the work, that ye might receive the promise. So if patience does not have its perfect with the will of God, you won't have the promise. Ah! So be first of them who through faith and patience inherit the promise. So you're going to learn to follow those who don't just boast in their works anymore. Through faith and patience. Be not slothful, but follow us. So it means it's work. Be not slothful. It's work to follow those who through faith. It's work. So what Jesus did, the cross issue, all of that, obedience was tied to that cross and his death and burial for him to be perfected. For him to have access to that glory. This man we see here, spoken about in Hebrews chapter 1, that man is made better, higher. That man is the old God man. It's the man that the Father, the God himself, said to him as God. He confided God on him. It's not just the Lord anymore. It's now God. Now, in God's design of how to go through, you know, Bible says God has made Jesus both Lord and Christ. That was what they were pushing in Acts of the Apostle. That's why in most of the scriptures of the early writings, they couldn't really assert Jesus as God. They understood how God made him both Lord and Christ. The revelation of how God made him God was not yet available, though the work has been done, but the wisdom was not yet manifest. So nobody can assert it. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know, I shall that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. And the Lord is the owner, and the owner is the Father. Once he's a owner, he's a Father. So it's not just Christ alone, he has become a Father. It's called everlasting Father, right? He doesn't want to just be everlasting, he's also eternal Father. So there's everlasting Father, there's eternal Father. So he knew when he became everlasting Father. He also moved ahead to complete obedience to become eternal Father. Who can author eternal salvation? If it's not eternal Father, he can author. So that's to say that though as an everlasting Father, he can save. And in saving also means that they are going to have victory over sin. But there's need for consolidation of what has been saved, such that death cannot have access to it anymore. So it's not going to be sinlessness, it's going to be deathlessness. There is sinlessness, there is deathlessness. Sinlessness is already high, but deathlessness is in the realm where not only it's impossible to sin, it's also impossible to die. And where you cannot die, element of sin cannot exist there. Not that sin cannot kill, it cannot exist. That's what made God. I am the Lord. I change yet not. I am immutable. Now, all we're talking about are sin, death, are all expression of life. Sin is a life. Death is a life. Bible calls it sin and death. But really, in existence, they are lives. Now, you need to stop. To those who are temper with it, it's a lifestyle. Somebody live by being 419. Live by being yahoo yahoo. And he learned his skill. He live by it. He built his word by it. And now people are subscribed to that word style, right? It's a lifestyle. He's not ashamed of it. It's his life. But when you hear yahoo, yahoo, because it's not yet life to you. It's a problem to you. It's not life to you. So we are seeing here that there is image, that is express image. There's image, that is the image promised by God, which is also glory. Now, in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 3, now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, beholding us in a glass, the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image. But this image is from glory to glory. So there's an image of one glory. If it's another glory, there's image of another glory. Every glory has its image. Paul talks about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Everybody is with their flesh and with their glory. Stars different with stars in glory. Though there are stars and they could be sister stars that you have in Pleiades, right? They are sister stars. Yet, the stars different from star in glory. There are stars in the sister stars that are leader stars, though they are called sister stars. Masarot. Most of them are not just one star. They are cluster stars. God used the star word to describe the sonship word for us. Let you know that, they are all kind of glory compliant to your body, to what you become. So we're not going to be exactly the same thing in glory. They're all sons, but glory from glory frame to glory frame. So from glory realm to glory realm. In dealing with sin, God has to deploy a higher life. A higher life that is also a glory life. From the realm of glory that has image. The image has to be the image of God. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same. Why would I have to use the word the same? Was in the beginning with God. So if he says same, then there are two things. I'm talking about things that were in the beginning. He was talking about realm of beginnings. And beginnings are variant from beginnings. But in the beginning, word said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Then he was talking about the Word and God. In other words, the same was in the beginning. So it means that a part of the Word moved, or a form of the Word moved. Though they are the same in the beginning, but moved to the realm all things were made by him, by the same. So there's the one that was eternal, but there's another one that was in the everlasting. So he moved from eternal to everlasting. Though they are same, but for the cause of moving to the realm of creation, so that creation can be ordered and can relate with God. So if it's in eternal, no creature can ever see. So if you are in heaven, you're going to be in heaven. And that's what we don't know about heaven, for example. You're going to be in heaven and not see anything. It is where you belong to there that you will see. And that's the heaven to you. You know, understand what? Today when people go to heaven, they see all manner of things. It's according to your make, your nature, your status. Every other thing will be invisible. It's just like when we are here now, and the blackest of people out of this place. You can only relate with those people you are seeing, right? Is that right? They are here, but they have been blacking out. So you can't relate with them. You can't see their chair. But when you move to where they also belong, they make you see. Even John himself couldn't see some things in heaven. They have to arrange or set things for him at a space where he can see them. They didn't create them. They have been in heaven, but he couldn't see them. So they empower him to see. An angel can be here, staying with you here. But you're not aware of it. So you're not relating with him. And he's doing what he should do in the meeting. But you know you don't see him. If they want to see him, they just, their spiritual ability empower you or stay on him and reduce him or empower you to see him or reduce him or to see him. And start seeing, wow. If they bring him up again, you won't see him anymore. And it's like, it doesn't disappear. He just changed status. He changed glory. That's why you have to have the consciousness, awareness of angels. You have to do that. You have to do that. You have to believe that and walk like that. Sometimes when there's noise in your household, you have to stop the noise. Not that you don't like noise. It's disorder. If your wife says, oh, then, no, sweetheart, let's not fight. It's not only for peace, for angels. Because you need them in your household. Your house, you don't be free from angels. You need power. Power. Power to do this beyond you. So you need Holy Ghost. You also need angels. They can need to forbid you. Resist you. So you can see the eternal state of where the word was. It wasn't creating there. And it cannot create there. He has to step to a place where he can create or make things that can respond to him. So it's true that angels don't know God. It's the God that the world showed to them that they know. They don't know God. They have not seen God. The one who only has immortality, who only has that being, that only has. If you check him, you won't say anything less than only has. Not that he has only immortality. He's the only one who has. Everything about him is immortality. It's an estate. Immortality is an estate. Who only has immortality. The wish in his time is Yeshua. Is Yeshua who is the blessed and only potentate. King of kings and Lord of lords. Who only has care. Jesus is a terrible being. That man will be your mate. The things he sees, the things he communes with, the way he reasons, all things are naked and open to him whom we have to do. Dwelling in the light, which no man, there's no human being. No angel. They are all men. All kind of men. In their stature. No man can approach unto. Whom no man has seen nor can see. So he's talking about a being who only has immortality. That being, nobody has seen him nor can see him. To whom be glory, be honor, and power. Now, that is a lesser world. To whom be glory and power everlasting. Power. Also called eternal power. Power. So all those realms have their power. So you can see the radar of conversation of even Paul. When Paul began to write to the pastors, the level of secret he wrote about Jesus is another thing entirely speaking. Over the years, they knew him more and more and more into eternal state. Because until you have access to that realm, you don't know what is there. It can be the realm of miraculous and you'll be wallowing there, anointing, power, glow, power, flow. Somebody's leg glow. You are in the world. When you leave that realm, they may not discuss those things. Every realm, I have their discussion. In some realm, it's about things to come. Ages to come. For a man to move in here, you will know exactly what Jesus was thinking when he was finishing on the earth here. He has already folded this world. There's a time when he was still the king of this world. As a time of his trial in the garden, his trial, when the Holy Ghost led him to the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. In those realms, kingdoms still matter. The dominion of the earth here still matter. That's why he could be tempted. Actually, he was tempted. Tempted means that it mattered. And they were not acting in it. It was a real moment of his life that heaven has been blocking from. They have a season you must pass through. If you are a son of the living God, then you have to be able to have laws above kingdom. So God permitted that temptation. They have raised him. They don't expect him to fall, but he can fall. And they were not acting. It was a reality of life. At those points, kingdoms of this world still make sense. Present world civilization still made sense. Because I believe that day, the discussion of the world took what they were showing to him, it consists of the present world. All the kingdom from Babylon to Romans, to the present civilization, were the things in that beast that the stone that was caught with that hand struck. And the whole thing crumbled. It's not just that it crumbled. In Jesus' understanding, it was demystified. Or it lost its tangibility. It lost its essence of reality. Do you know that it was the time of Jesus that the Christian wisdom really became major wave of leadership on the world? It was the time of Jesus. I've seen the Plato world, the Socrates world, and all the sons of the Grecian world, they were advancing the Grecian civilization. An advancement which crystallized today in the education we have in the world. It was the Grecian education that Roman inherited. Without Grecian education, Roman has nothing to offer. The beauty of Roman power and kingdom is Grecian wisdom. Intelligence. That's why you have to invest today, is intelligence. They are all Grecian innovations. So Rome has nothing. Rome is weak. The strength of Rome is Greece. It's not a religious thing. It's a reality thing. It's not religious. It's not a church thing. Only that we have to learn in the church. But it's a tangible thing that Jesus Christ came to know. So just knew them in the spirit. Just knew the Babylon world in the spirit. Just like they were shown to Moses, creation. So in the spirit of revelation, they can move you back. They move Moses back. That was like we write Genesis. He was not there, but they move him back. They gave him revelation of the past. So Jesus knew the kingdoms by revelation. And because they're sons actually dwell in the world of revelation. They don't have to be there before they relate with revelation as real. A son doesn't have to go to Russia. He can be here and they will show him Russian skill and wisdom and power. And he can be relating with those things without living here. That's sons for you. They are Xbox. Deal with ideologies. Wisdom that manage nations. I was saying that for Jesus, as at the time he was born and was being raised there, that he didn't try to take, to invent into the Christian world. It's not a power. Because as a normal human being, you would think that Greece is what will give your ministry fulfillment. If it's just a minister of the gospel, there's no way you will be able to further what you are talking about without Grecian help. You know, there was no account of just stepping out of Israel with that massive revelation and power. And from where he was, he knew kingdoms. So one devil came and showed him all the kingdom of this world. If he can't relate with them, then it means not showing him. He showed him because he could understand it. So just understood Christian wisdom. Not by going there, by revelation. He knew it. You know, the last part of his ministry, the Greeks came. I said, I want to see Jesus. They were expecting him to come. He wasn't coming. And they said, They now choose the day to come. They met Philip. Philip told Andrew. Andrew went and told Jesus, saying, sir, we will see Jesus. They are elites are the one that came. They have been hearing about him. This Jewish man, this Jewish star, this Jewish savior. He will need us. He will soon come. He will soon come. That's where it is. He will soon come. Days went. Month went. And they kept hearing from that place. There's one Jewish boy, Jewish man. Kai, if you hear words in his mouth, if you hear his teaching, you have not heard him before. You need to hear him. You know, the day, one of the days, the censor just go and arrest him. As they were there, hearing what he was saying, they went back to their masters. They said, where is him? You were not there. You were asking him because we were not there. If you are there, you won't be asking, where is he? We have never heard man speak. We have never heard. I'm talking about the man Jesus. And Jesus will not shame. So what is it? So we'll see Jesus. Philip came and tell Andrew. And Andrew tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come. He just turned away from him. The hour is come. That the Son of Man should be glorified. And very, very, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abided alone. He didn't do as if he heard what they were saying. He was saying, that's no issue. The Son of Man must die. The one they will see is not the one they are seeing now. There's one Son they will see. It's not the one they are seeing now. So you can understand why the Grecian world, the first place of attack of the gospel is Greece. When they moved from Jerusalem, straight it moved into Asia Minor. From Asia Minor, invade Greece. And the gospel prospered in Greece. To show them the higher glory that man would need. I'm just trying to say to us that God knew exactly what was needful. The word came, the same of the word moved into everlasting world. He's still the word. And by him all things were created, right? And without him was nothing made that was made. He's called the Lord. It's not God. It's not God. It's called the Lord, the creator of the heaven and the earth. But that Lord has God. He has a God. That God is called everlasting life. Jeremiah 10:10. But the Lord is the true God. Here he's describing the Lord. The Lord is the true God. He is the living God. Though he's the Lord. He's the God, the Lord creator. In Isaiah 4:28, has that not heard, has that not known? The everlasting God, the creator of the hands of the earth, fainted not, and is he weary? There is no searching of his understanding. You have part of the faint to them that have no mind, he created strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. So, the creator of the ends of the earth is both the Lord that has his God. His God is called everlasting God. He's also the Lord. When Christian is relating with God, they're relating with the everlasting God, the Lord. But they can't relate with the life of the everlasting God. There's no provision to relate with the life he has. They only relate with the power of creation. You understand what I'm saying? So it's not the word of relationship. It's a word of creator and the creature. So the Lord is the creator and all the things created that were creatures. And that's the blindness that all of them has. So for Lucifer to venture to that word, he was doing a wrong calculation. You don't know it. You don't know it. Your first step there is off. You are a creature. And a creature does not ask its creator, what created thou? You accept your state. It is the creator that can come to you. You can't go to creator. Creator comes to you and tell you what he wants to be done. As long as the creator has not discussed sonship with you, you stay in your estate. And you don't bring up the discourse. It's unrighteous for you to raise a discourse around the matter. Why? You are a creature. So we have eternal God. We have everlasting God. Then we have the offshoot of everlasting God, the Lord, the creator. So the creation knows the Lord creator. They don't know the everlasting God. Now the everlasting God and the eternal God are actually one. They are the same. But in most, though, the word of the everlasting, he has only lowered his glory. So the glory of the everlasting is a lower glory than the glory of the eternal. So the real refuge, I don't know, is eternal God is the refuge. Underneath the eternal God are everlasting arms. So that is arm he used to put creation in their place. Both arm and armor. So, eternal God does not fight. It's the everlasting God that thrust out his enemy. That said, destroy them. Because no creature can access the eternal God. You cannot. You can't see him. And he came to where he is because of us. The only reason why God came to creation and world is because of the original thought of adopting man. The reason for all the angelic world is man. It's man. They're either to maintain the Christian world for now or to show man order, authority. All of that, easily, man can learn from creature easily than creator. You go to your class now, you learn chemistry. I have PhD chemistry. Now, what I'm talking now, you are looking at well, your brain can learn chemistry. When we come to prophetic revelation, so you are brilliant, you can learn from creature. But it's not easy to learn from creator. But they are different world entirely. The language of creator is not the same. At the point of thunder, the Lord spoke to his son, and they said he turned it right. Can you see that? Even creatures, some can still learn the thunder. Some creatures can learn vibration. They can pick seismic waves. They can know where there's going to be an earthquake. And you see them running and moving. Man will be there enjoying himself. Where's the cup of... Give me one more cup. The young tourism. Creatures are running. Yet the voice of the creator is still higher than that. So there are voices he can speak that nobody can hear it. So God needed prophets to speak to fathers. Can you understand that? He has to send man to man. Huh? He wants to speak. Man cannot hear him. So let man go and speak to man. So prophets speak to the fathers. Or God sent prayer to speak by the prophets. In the last day, there's a program of how God will speak. And he will use the Son to speak. And man will hear the Son. Man who has been strong to hear prophets will hear the Son. So the highest form of communication of God to man today is speaking by the Son. And I like that he has spoken by the Son. He has spoken. He's not going to speak. God has spoken. God is not saying anything anymore. Who is speaking now? The Son. It's the Son. God is not saying anything anymore. God is saying what he has said. Why? He has spoken. But we know the Son is speaking today. Say, amen. The Son has captured the degree of statuses and realms where his voice can be communicated. So the mystery is this one. The Son is a being, though it's eternal. He has connected the eternal with the everlasting realm. He has come down to the Christ realm. So it means that God does not need the foundation. His foundation is in the everlasting world. That is, God cannot step beyond where he came to when he created. He knows the place. So if he's speaking, he'll be speaking eternal or everlasting words. Both eternal word and everlasting word, man cannot hear it. And that seems to be the advantage of the enemy against man. That man has fallen beyond where he can hear God. But he didn't know that there's a joker. There's a ladder that can go further. That ladder is part of them. But they made him like their bracing feet. That was the feet of Jesus when he was in Revelation chapter 1. That feet was a brass. Feet like on the fine brass. As if they born in the furnace. It's a high grade brass. To let you know that the earth, actually the earth is from God. No wonder there's a new heaven and new earth. The earth is brass. But it's a fine brass. It's a brass that creation has never known before. So he didn't know that everything God made, he has a fine type of it in himself. When you check him, you don't get foundation. My everlasting word is manager. But God gets feet. It's a fine brass feet. That fine brass is the everlasting being called Christ. I don't know Christ's everlasting being. But it's an everlasting being that can relate with the earth. He can touch the earth. He can move to clay. When he wants to reach to clay, you become spirit. That's the Holy Ghost feet. They can give Holy Ghost to a prostitute. Who just believed today? They'll give him Holy Ghost and start speaking tongues. Because that brass has a feet that can dissolve to the earth. Yet it can reclaim itself back. It can dissolve. And it can move back. It can absorb or assimilate from the earth. So it's the feet that reaches all the earth to claim all of God's seed. Anywhere it sees faith, it draws it. It's a brazen feet that is upon the earth for the cause of creation. So the everlasting life is the life of God. It's the superior life that creation has no access to. Though the life understands creation, but creation does not know it. That life itself has image. Though it's not the express image, but it's an image. That's image, that's glory. Let's just look at Corinthians. Let's check 2 Corinthians chapter 4:4. In whom the God of this world had blinded the minds of them, which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, glorious gospel of Christ, is describing a kind of Christ. That has something called glorious gospel. Because he said, if our gospel will be hid, it's hid to them in whom the God of this world has blinded. If our gospel, and he said, if my gospel, you know, Paul asked his gospel. What's his gospel? Christ. That's his gospel. Then he also asked our gospel. And our gospel is the gospel. Paul, Peter, all of them preached it. They were all holding that gospel. So he has my gospel. They also have our gospel. In 1 Corinthians, he was dealing more with my gospel. But in 2 Corinthians, he was dealing with our gospel. So all the apostles, though Paul was one of the found grace to receive the gospel called Christ, which is the power of God for salvation. That was what Paul was able to receive for us. But all the other apostles also came into it. It was after they came into it that they have access to our gospel. Peter will talk about, you know, about the power and the coming of the Lord. That power is the first gospel. But the coming is our gospel. But not follow the cunning device fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus. The power and coming. Both power and coming are two different things. The power is Christ. So he was talking about made known two things. To you, the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we're high witness of his majesty. We had the foretaste of the coming. It was the foretaste of the coming we had. But now we all receive the message. We now have a more sure word of prophecy. That's the message of the coming. We had the foretaste in experience. Now we have. So for Paul, all of them, it's now their message. So if anyone does not believe in this, our gospel, it could be a believer who has been in the former power gospel, but now he doesn't have faith to believe in this, our gospel. Then actually, it is the God of this world. It's the work of the God of this world. It can blind mind. You can't relate with it. They're talking about it. You don't have enough energy to connect it. Each time they go there, you disconnect. Because when you move in there, it's moving gradually from the ephemeral world. It's not more the world of you lie here, you steal here, you do this one. It's no more in our world. The discussion now is on ideology. It's on wisdom. It's on reasoning. Can you see what makes algebra difficult? You have moved to the world of abstract. I used to like mathematics. Oh, love mathematics. I always have A1. And I thought I know mathematics. And I took a step in the world of algebra. I quickly just I'm like, it's a word that make nonsense the mass you need before. You know what I'm saying? Mass menstruation, quadratic, simultaneous equation, construction. Can the mass here? Angle. When you move in there, they are no more mentioning that. That's how the gospel of the coming is. It moves away from the general discourse of men. The discourse of laws and life that controls the human world or human civilization, because itself is a civilization. That's where God's civilization is hidden. 1 John chapter 1. All things were made like by him, and he was nothing made, was nothing made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light. Or was the civilization? It was the civilization that God intended man to live by. That was the construct that God ordained for man. When I say man, in God's own view, is the light of everlasting life that man should live by. That should be the order. When man is thinking, it should be thinking on ancient matters, ancient thoughts. Man should be traveling back to the beginning like he's traveling to. Yes. Can you see Jesus? It was not so in the beginning. He travels there. He's there. He come back. He fetched things there. Like we put the cup here. In the construct of the world around us, as complex as it is, I like Jeremiah. He said the glorious throne from on high, from the beginning, is the place of our sanctuary. A glorious high throne. That's where we came from the beginning. That's where we dwell in. That's where we live in. It's our sanctuary. That's where we minister from. That's where we serve from. That's where we think from. That's where we reason from. A glorious high throne from the beginning. So a man can be in touch with the beginning. So beginning is a civilization. It's like the way we were in our village, when we came to Lagos. They say you are local. No, you are not local. You are connected to your source. That's the beginning that's read to you. But when you are eating that thing, it's connected to your beginning. You know what I'm saying? You are touching house. Jesus is the house. Jesus is the home. Ileni Jesu. When you are singing that, it will not be cloudy thing. You should not be moving your head like you are in the cloud. You should be listening. Because sometimes we quickly switch to enjoying the melody. You'll be in the euphoria. Nothing is going on in your mind. Because you understand that. So light is an understanding. It's understanding. So understanding is wisdom, understanding, reasoning. When they talk of us, they're connected to a beginning. Within yourself as every year, you were in the beginning. And there was a design. I could be feeling Jeremiah cry. We can come into it, huh? And we'll come into it. I tell you, when if there's something you have the desire to come into these things, huh? When you start studying Jesus, you're not just reading Bible. You will see conversations. What Christ is to do is to remove the blockade. That's the Christ, is to remove blockade. I can start conversing. That's the same thing that was the cry in the heart of David here. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountain were brought forth, that's the beginning. However, thou hast from the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. So you turn man to this side, but man should return back there. Say, I will return. Death is not the means to return. No, the gospel is the means to return back. Jesus abolished death. He abolished death and brought life and immortality to discourse. To light means to discourse. Discourse of this or civilization to reason. So we can sit down here and be discussing immortality. Imagine if we get to the word of the only one who has immortality, who will be in that church? When we are not talking about, we are not talking about sin, you know. You are talking for 3 hours, so now mentioning the sin you know. But there are sins. Say amen. Yeah. When you get to the world of the first start of creation people, that's what is described in Romans chapter 1. What's their sin? What's their sin? Even as much as those who were in Genesis 6, their sin was just that they used their will. What me and you use freely? We use our will like we use pure water. You know what I'm saying, huh? We only ask God for things that look serious to our life. Jesus, I'm seeing this business. Should I go into it or not? Where is the serious matter? You know what I'm saying, huh? In the daily business, nothing you don't ask. Father, I'm going to work today. You walk through me, and the work will succeed. Say amen. You go there, you freely use your will throughout the day. But Jesus said, the Son can do nothing. The Son can do nothing. So it means there's a sonship you get to where he didn't say the Son will do nothing. So they say, sonship you get to, you can't do anything. Even when you want to, you can't do it. They have seized your will. Yes. He also described that sonship in John 15. Say, without me, you can bear no fruit. You can do nothing. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch in me that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that may bring forth more fruit, right? Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot. He said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. As the branch cannot. So at least there's a branch of the vine that cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abides in the vine. So he called himself, I am the true vine. Here are the branches. So it means there's a true vine, there is the vine, there's the husbandman. The true vine is higher than the vine. The vine branch should not be able to do anything without. There's a tampering with the vine that makes it not able to do anything. Both vine, true vine, all of them are in the Father's word. True vine. So there are vines before the true vine. They are vine. It means that they are living vines. It's not about true vine, false vine. It's the grade of vine. It's the grade of vine. I am the true vine. I am the true vine. My Father is the husband now. Every branch in me that beareth not forth fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now are ye clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. So it must first of all stay in the vine before it can access from the true vine. You have to stay in the vine. So you can now access the true vine. Once you stay in the vine, that's when they do the work of cannot. They take the ability to depend, to do it by yourself. That's the job. If they cannot do that in you, then the branch will die away. They have to do a job of cannot. Every vine should not be able to should not have this power to do things of itself. I can imagine for Jesus to pray 3 hours on just one point. On only one wheel. Sir, only one wheel. That we used 100 of it in a day. Jesus took one. I was praying. But if it pleases you, let it not be this way. And he prayed it, he came back. He saw that the thing was not the go. He prayed again, thy will be done. That's a high level of will surrender. You know what I'm saying? So there are ladder of will crucifixion. There are ladders of will crucifixion. There's a matter of will you let go for your brother, let go in church, let go. And there are some will that is between you and God. Between you and God, it's between you and God. I trust that is the way to pass. And you're saying, God, are there not that these are other ways? Because, you know, for you, this is the only way. And you have to die there and lay down your will. That is will be done. That is the training of the vine. John chapter 1, we're there. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. It was the civilization, was the reasoning, was the template of conversation, was the view through which men see life. It's the light. So when you say man, that's the program in God's man. But look at that man who was created in the garden. He didn't access this light. Because it's the light of Creator. What did I say? Come on, say it again. So, creatures are not meant to use it. It's only man. It's only man that God programmed will use that light. And that's supposed to be the wisdom to undermine other creatures. It means when man connects to it, other cherubs. Who just maybe that we look uncivilized. Yeah? That light is higher than them. That was the light that made them, that gave them light. So you can see they have their light. All creatures have their light. They have their own light. Like if living soul has its own light. They have their light. But this light of Creator is not what is recommended for man to use. So let's see what they are saying. In Romans chapter 1. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God hath shewed it unto them. So God actually decided to show himself to creature at a time. His shewed is a dimension of himself to them. He decided to make a side of him known to creatures. So they will see order of the heavenlies. They will see the realm of the eternal God and his power. And his power. That thing called is the everlasting life is his power. So power is actually a life. Like Christ's power is a life. It's Christ's life. Eternal God itself is a dominion. It's a throne. His power also is a domain. So God made known both his Godhead, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly Kai. Nobody should die and not be higher than these people. I'm telling you, no man should die. And these people will say to you, what were you doing on the earth here? What were you doing? Because in our day, we're learning eternal God. We are learning Godhead. Are clearly seen, sir. Molo clear. Thank God that they were not allowed to write. We'll be in trouble. So don't mind us who say some book almost, there's nothing in those books. It's lie. God did not allow anybody testimony to be written. He closed them. He ensured that they were not written. Or he summarized them. Like he did. He did for Enoch. And Enoch walked with God. very short, 3 verses. And so you won't see the testimony and take interest. Why? They are distraction to sons. They will distract you. You can spend 10 years learning their testimony. That will take you to nothing. It won't take you above death. Yes. So what I did was that's why you have to stay in scripture. Stay here, sir. Stay here, sir. Stay here, sir. Stay here. There's nothing more to be spoken. Everything has been spoken here. If there's no any extra book that I does not have its mates here, it's not a book. Whatever your name must be confirmed there. When you take Isaiah, it's confirmed from Jeremiah. Abi. It's not staying alone. No book should stay alone. You can see here that so Enoch was translated. I was translated. You should not taste of death. Before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Wisdom of the Spirit. The God who showed to them creation story in the old book of Genesis. Can you not show to them about this testimony? There are things you don't speak or ask in the spirit. When they say the book is closed, it is closed too. Because testimonies are powerful. They have voice of speaking. They please God by faith. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. The only reason for that testimony is that to know that without faith, you can't please God. That faith is much more a facility to please God than to get it in. That faith is a facility to please God than getting a thing. But when you see faith, it's a means to please God. First one. So God clearly showed it to them. They understood it. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. What does it mean? That? Or they sanctify him not as God. In their learning, God was showing himself to them. They also knowing. You know, when you venture the word of revelation, you also know creation more. Not everybody who teaches revelation can teach also mysteries of creation. It's a world. Once you venture to knowing God that way by revelation, then to deal with lower knowledge is easier. You know, okay. So the problem is this one. They took interest in creation. They have loved creation all the while. They were not looking for creator. They want to expand the world, expand their inventions, expand learning, make the world a palace of learning, showing mysteries on the earth here. That was the intention there. Because they didn't glorify him as God, neither were thankful that God is showing himself to us. God, you are holy. You are separate. You are great. You are mighty. You are alone. You are God alone. Before time begins, you are on your throne. You are God alone. Right now, in good time and bad time, you are on your throne. You are God alone. Now, to now relate with God in knowing God with that mindset, not in getting from God. Sometimes we praise God that way because we use that to arouse God to do this for us. So it's still love for ourselves, but to glorify Him there and to the Son is knowledge. I want to relate with it. Let me tell you something. If all on the earth here, all you know is God, we used to be happy. Not just that it. I'm not. All you know is mysteries of eternal life, mysteries of the everlasting life, mysteries of the crowning of life, mysteries of the reign of life, mysteries of doing all things, mysteries of kingdom. All of that. If that's all you know, will you be happy in life? Will you be excited? Wow! That's what the devil says. Prove what you know by what you have. Show what you know by what you have. If you don't have it, you don't have the result. Then keep quiet. They glorified him not as God. Neither were thankful. But became vain in their imaginations. And their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fool. It's leading us somewhere. And change. Listen to me. Change the glory of the uncorruptible God. So, uncorruptible God is an image. Into an image made like. So, it tells you that uncorruptible God is an image. So, there's image of incorruption. There's image of immortality. You think you get it? So, they change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made. So the glory actually is image. To the image made like the corruptible man, and to birds, and to four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God. So that is their sin, though. In a woman, what do they? Is it a sin? It's not a sin we know about anything about. These are high grade men. And they say you have sinned. The sin of Lucifer, does it look like a sin to us? Just a expression of desire. That desire is strong. It's a cherub desire. It's a strong desire. The forces of the inner nature of cherubs. For the desire, forces will have been released. Because they saw it in his heart. He had not taken a step. But through his heart, angels have been changing. To know the power of the heart of a cherub. Angels have been falling. He has not spoken anything. So, heart can speak. The forces of life, forces are in the heart. Issues of death, issues of life, is in the heart. That's why they're not going to just cleanse your mouth, they will cleanse your inside. Because the strongest forces are forces within you. And God can feel the forces. God knows the forces. And he knows the effect of the forces on things around you that you don't know about. Somebody made an experiment. Put two plants, instead of two pots. Put one plant in one window, put another one in one, and that one. That one of the plant is complain around it. Complain. The other one is speak good around it. And it is all that within a few months, the complaint one on was shrinking. And the one is speak good around is doing well. He's not a believer. He was doing experiment. But it even means that plants respond to forces of man. So there are things that our attitude without talking has killed. That's why bitterness is a very wrong one, very far one. Bitterness must not be found in you. Don't be bitter. Whatever all is done against you, don't be bitter. It's called Ororo. Oh, they hurt you. In fact, they hurt you. Go to Jesus. Let him heal you. You don't need bitterness in your inside of you. It's gall. It's poison. No matter how they treat you in the absence of work, please don't be bitter. Your success is not in their hand, okay? Sometimes my treatment is the way to your future. It's the way to your future. So gladly rejoice and thank you, Father, for thank you. I'm leaving you here with joy. God bless all of you. And you turn from them to reach your future. Your life is not in anybody's hand. It's in the hand of God. So don't be over-expectant from people. Don't be over-expectant. Your uncle has been promising you, from the U.S. has been promising you, he has been failing. And you are angry. Your life is not in his hands. It can be a source of help. So these people, their problem is only simple. They change their interest and commitment. They love creature more than creator. And let me explain this to you. Now, the creature they love is God who made them. It's God who gave them knowledge of creatures. It's not just that their invention alone. It was the Lord that gave them. But he didn't expect them to have allegiance to creatures. That's why I like sometimes that when you're in church for some hours, to even arrest your mind from trafficking. The mind. Also leave here and suddenly you remember there's no fuel. Thank you for church. Thank you for church now. You know what is remembering fuel now. So then remember, that's it, that matter. Now so you go think until you go sleep. Monday again, you resume it. Thank you, Jesus, of Sunday. Thank you for the gift of Sunday. Come and say, thank you for the gift of Sunday. To save my soul from this present evil world. Transaction. Don't you know that's the meaning of Canaan? That and Canaan. Canaan. That word Canaan is a word taken from traffic. Or merchant. So when God said, I'll give you that land of Canaan. But those who are inhabiting it are merchants. They don't have time for God. Now buy and sell throughout the whole week and year. They buy, they buy soul. That spirit did not leave Jerusalem for a long time. You don't know what was troubling them? Why they had to move selling of doves into the temple? It's the spirit of that land. Before then, they were buying doves outside. Change your money, buy dove. They start moving the stall, small, small. Small, small. They didn't know they... When you are in a place, you must first of all learn the spirit over your territory. Yeah. You must know the spirit in your territory. That will make some things normal, which are abnormal. Because I'm in my place there, it's normal to sleep by 8 o'clock. By 8, you won't see any car outside. Where the only people they see on the road by 9. So, Okada already know our church. They come there by 9 and pick people. But you are in Lagos. 9, 11 is popular in Lagos. But 9 is outlawed in our place. Because by 8, they'll be asking, where are you going? So, Tosuni. But Lagos, you are just coming back from work, right? Something's about to start, Abby. Are you in the house here, please? So territories are governed by spirits. Not by demon, by spirits. And they order how life is ordered. I'm very sure that spirit did not leave that land. God meant you drive them out. They didn't know that driving us is driving us spirits. They moved it to small, until it didn't enter temple. Until it didn't become a major business in temple. It's no more the offering. They buy and sell. They have even attached that business to it that's not the dove. Of the amount of money exchanged there. Bro, the change. Jesus came and said, is my father's house. Kill her there. He went to go and look for a whip. Those people wanting them does not save the butter. It has been, the spirit is, has been entrenched in their life. It is God's. He took whip. Oh, what? I'm sure that they can't believe. Disciples of Jesus cannot believe that Jesus whipped people. Jesus. It was a root shock. Jesus. Now, on a normal day, you should not say Raka. Doubtful. You must say that doubtful. He took God. And upturned their tables. But it's a symbol of commitment to another God. That image there is not an image. That image is empowering transaction. Transaction. And the temple should be a place where the new image should be delivered. So the dream has always been that. Can you see? Let's go back to that place. So they love creatures more than creator. They worship and serve for this cause. Who changed the truth of the God into a lie? So it means that you have to drop truth and pick lie. Because what makes creatures are lies. Lies is another form of truth. It's a form of truth that's not point you to God. It stops you at creatures. That's lie. That's another word for vanity. It's lie. The concept of vanity is lie. So vanity and lies are the conversation that happens in the fallen world. So vanity and lies can only come in when truth of God has stopped. You can't say, I won't serve vanity. Forget about it. Once the truth of God is not being pushed, vanity is in various forms. And there's a vanity compliant to your reasoning. Yes, there's vanity compliant to your reasoning. I remember in those days in the holiness movement, when heaven was the goal, they were selling everything they have for heaven. When you look as if the thing is not heaven, seriously, you know what I'm saying? Heaven is not being eat. They divert the energy to success. To success. So you see all the children meeting, the drive is success. Succeed in academics. Succeed in the industry. Succeed. Succeed. It means be successful. Do you know that? Because when you say heaven really speaking, it's not, you can't see heaven. It's the places in heaven you can see, represented by creator or creatures. So when you say heaven, what responds to you are creatures. That's when you say hell, it is spirit that moves to you. Because they're the one that carries heaven and hell. Creatures carry heavens, carry hell. The creatures are the one that was first made in making their habitation. Do you know that? Yes. So the creature is the habitation. So if they want to make you to learn them, they open the creatures to you. Not just the place. But if you learn the place, you won't know much about the creature. The original nature is in the creature. So you can't really learn eternal world without eternal nature. Can you see that? That's why you see in 2 Peter chapter 1, and God has his divine powers had given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given to us excellent, great, and precious promises. That by this, you might be particular. All these promises are promises of beings, of persons. That's how we can access their world. Hallelujah. Okay, let's go a little bit. The Godhead is eternal world. Power of the Godhead. The power of the Godhead is the life that is like the foundation of the Godhead. So you see Godhead and its foundation. So, the Godhead, the head of God, Godhead is eternal life. Or is eternal. The tail or the base, it's the eternal power. So they call it eternal power and Godhead. Let me put it this way again. In the world of Christ, life or Christ's life is the head. Are you understanding now? But the power is the means. You can't get to the head without the means. So the power is what leads you to the life of the promised life that is promised as the head. So power is the means to his head. You can't reach to salvation, for example, without the power. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to all that believes. So we say power now. Power is everlasting life. Everlasting life is image. It has its image. I think that is clear now. So go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. If our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. In whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them, which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine. So let's look at today. The glorious gospel is also called image. Is that right? It's also a light. So, the glorious gospel is image, is light of life called everlasting life. So, it means that you cannot access that life without its light or without its knowledge. Let's see verse 4, 5, and 6 of that place. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servant for Jesus' sake. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shone in our heart. So that light has been transferred to somebody's heart. So it's a light whose resident is in hearts. If you also understand Paul's writing in chapter 3, just put it there. 3 Corinthians 3, Paul says, for as much as he had manifestly declared the gospel epistle of Christ, Mr. by horse, written not with ink, but the spirit of the living God, not in tables of flesh, but in tables of the earth. Go to verse 2 of that place. Let me read verse 2 of that place. 2 says, ye our epistle, written in our hearts. It's not written in your hearts. In our heart, known and read of all men. So the writing was not yet in men's heart. It was first written in their heart. So that light has shone. All the apostles, they have light of everlasting life. You can't write Christ's gospel accurately without that light. The light has to guide you so that you can lead men from faith to charity. You can't take them to the end of it if you are not beyond the end of it. You see what I'm saying now? You can't take men to the end if you are not beyond the end. So they must have moved to the beyond the end to show Christ fully. More accurate. So the epistles were in hearts. So the enlightenments were heart enlightenments. They are meant to tamper with the former writing. Listen to me. What is called writing of sin and death is a writing on the heart. We just happen to be doing what we're doing. It's not from us. It's a writing upon our hearts. It's an inward, careful writing by spirit that made men what they are today. I went to the house, please. So if you look at yourself 100 times, there's what is going to flow from your heart. What will flow from your heart cannot tamper with that. Because it's the source, is the form of writing. That will be converted to philosophy, to education, to ideology, professions, that has been converted to all kinds of things that have become the life of men. So there are things that we can say we run from, and there are things that are normal with our life, that if they take them from your life, life will become empty. They are called the present world. It's the present evil world. So the soul of man is written with programs to align with the present evil world. It's not really seen as it were to man. That's why Christ's life has dealt with sins. But it's inscription that make man love this world or love creation than creator. It's a higher form of flesh. You know, flesh is funny. Flesh can fall into the bosoli. Yes. Flesh is not just, it's not just on the outer court or on the sanctuary. Flesh can show up in the homo soli. So there are grade of flesh. They can ship off from us at this level. Great at this level. What do you think Jesus was still dealing with close to the cross? It's the will of flesh. Or will of man. So, but a higher form now that only sons can decode. And they won't tempt any man who is not a son. So, man is meant to love God and serve God. The ultimate of man's fulfillment is to serve God. When I say serve God now, let's not just look at what you do in church. I'm saying, role life in the way it pleases God. Interpret life the way it pleases God. Because you could not have done anything and you're serving God. Jesus has not done ministry, right? I'm also saying, this is my son in whom? It means his program of thinking agree with God. So, without doing anything, you're either serving God or you are serving his word. So, it's first of all a thing of the heart and the mind. Than what you thought the sin. They served the creature more than the creator. What's the last answer in the scriptures? And they will see his face. And they will serve their God. So it means that the highest desire in the inner man creature, the inner man's soul, is to serve God. It's to serve the true God. To serve the living God. That's why you see people when they leave that religion, the wrong Christianity, it's that it like, wow, what they will be saying about God, you'll be wondering. I've been here for a long time, I don't have the experience. You've ever had a Muslim from Somalia, Iran, Iraq, that got converted? I talk about what happened to them. How they heard the voice of Jesus. How a man appeared to them and said, you will serve me, you will follow me. But you didn't get born that way. Some of us have been born again for how many years? We have not seen Jesus physically. They're not better. It's the gateway of encountering them. So for them, when they come in that way, they feel like, wow, this Jesus is going to serve through my life. Why? They are coming from a realm of darkness where their life has been used to serve the enemy in a form like Saul did. Maybe they have killed Christians. They have destroyed churches. And they have them to get converted. And wow for them, wow. They want to go out and serve. Sometimes God will slow them down. Like slow Paul down. Paul, you don't know how to serve me. Don't go and do it with your zeal. You need knowledge to serve me. So what is making men serve creature? Ignorance. Even when they seem to be highly enlightened, you see ignorance at a lie. Or we call it darkness. John chapter 1. And the light shineth in the darkness. And he was life, and life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness. And the darkness comprehended it not. So it means that in those men in whose soul were corrupted by it, the light they had couldn't hand to the darkness. Is that not true? Darkness was stronger than their light. What is called ignorance is darkness here. And that's why you're going to see in Daniel, and they that know their God shall be strong and shall do exploit. The word exploit there, actually, is from the word they will do covenant. If you look at the discussion there, it's on covenant. Or they will do the will. So why are men not doing the will? They are weak. Why are they weak? They don't know. Neither do they understand. So why will men serve creatures? So it means that all the while, why we're not serving God is various. Is it not true? It's various. We are veiled. We are not able to see how to serve. Our mind, our heart is under a veil of darkness. Is darkness from one degree of darkness to another degree of darkness? And degree of darkness, not the same form. So a pastor will still be asking, Lord, give me light in this matter. Why? Because to an extent, we still have a measure of darkness in our soul. And the devil can use advantage of our darkness to make us do what is not accurate. It could be accurate in a level, but when you move to another level, it's not more accurate. Why? The more you move closer to the real light, the more what is not light is made manifest. So you're going to understand that now. So what we call the everlasting light is also called light of presence. It's a light that man should use, or that man should make his tool. Let me read Psalm 36, verse 7. Thy righteousness is like a great mountain. Thy judgment are a great deep. O Lord, thou preservest man and beast. Then how excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. For with thee is the fountain of life. There was nothing. In thy light shall we see light. So it means that man's problem that he can't use God's light to see. So they have to allow him to use other lights and keep guiding him. Keep guiding him to a point when he can use that light. Because that light is what is able to expose every darkness. So when you hear the word, God is light. His name is not darkness at all. What is he saying? Then if we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, then we lie. We lie and do not the truth. So it means that when we fellowship with him, what should be happening? Our own darkness should be exposed. So the more you approach and use that light, the more your darkness is exposed. But because the deed of man are evil, we draw back from the light. Because we don't want their deed. But that light will not only reveal your enemy, it will reveal yourself. So one of the greatest things is that nobody wants to be naked. What man hates most is nakedness. If he's naked the moment, he will look for an alternative to clothe. But sometimes, it is when you are naked, they can clothe you. It means that the light's job is to also make all things naked. So, as we approach the light the more, what happens? We're not afraid to be naked. They'll say, oh, that thing, oh, that, oh, that, oh, that. Not like that, not like that, no. Oh, that. It becomes a normal response of the soul. Why? He has started using a light whose only job is to expose. So if we walk in the light, that is, he is in, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all our sin. So it means that the intention of that light is to cleanse us from all our sin. What do you call our sin there? Our sin is not the sin of unbelievers. It's the sin of love for this world. That love is a light. It's an enlightenment. That's why you can reason it. You can grow it. You can imbibe it. It can become the trend. It's an enlightenment. What is called love. Every love is a light. That light is meant to begin to interact, to expose that light. The more they admit what the light exposes, the more it exposes more. The more it exposes more, the more it enables to fellowship more with the light. So it's not that we are free from our sin, but it disengages us from the love for it and the tendency to shield our soul from it. If any soul covers sin, say that soul will not prosper. So 1 John 1, 6, 8, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all our sin. If we say that we have no sin, so it means that it's the sin of everybody. What is the we here? It is John. It's Peter. It's Paul. So it means that it's a resident thing in every man. You're not going to be amazed that they showed John in the book of Revelation, the woman. He wondered at her with great admiration. I mean, in that woman is found the blood of all prophets. In her, there's no apostle that died without her. And another apostle saw the woman. So it means that the woman is not showing blood. So he has a life that he used to absorb the blood. That's no more showing blood. It's not showing beauty. The woman is drunken with the blood of the saints and the blood of the martyr of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. So the greatest job of that light, as both the law, as the testimony, as the commandments, lastly, as judgment, as commandments, as statutes, end up in judgment and testimony. Judgment that delivers testimony. Nobody can have testimony without judgment being delivered to him. That was why when they overcame the saints at the point. They had to give the saints judgment. Because judgment is the key to testimony. When they gave them judgment, they came back and overcame that same beast. Now, without crossing the love of the world, life cannot abound. The drinker, the spirit that drinks, that sups life, is the world. It can't reign until it abounds. Life can't reign until it abounds. Sin abounded, it starts raining. So grace has to abound first before it will start raining. So what hits life from abounding is the world. It's a beautiful damsel that sucks life. It's the agent of the red dragon. It's one that gives him the life that sustains him. And it's what everybody has fallen in love with naturally. So, the first job of the light is to ensure that it rid us from the law and light of this world. That civilization of this world that gives man what is satisfaction. What the world offers is satisfaction. It's also called fulfillment. Everybody is asking for fulfillment. I need job satisfaction. I'm tired of that job. I just need job satisfaction. It's not job satisfaction you're asking for. Your soul needs is satisfaction, which it does not understand. You now call it job satisfaction. So he called that thing, that love, he called it satisfaction. So every soul wants it. But when you want satisfaction there, it's not going to come as satisfaction, it comes as life. And the life becomes a thing that makes you not too much sensitive, too much responsive. The gospel call it, in Luke, he called it what we carouse with. The things it called suffering and cares of this life. Take it to yourself. Let's attend time. Your heart be overcharged with surfeiting. The word surfeiting means carousing. It's a language for satisfaction. That nothing here satisfies, really speaking. We're going to grow up to a point when you just know that we are all like you are playing card. When you are playing card, you are just playing. What is called satisfaction here is like a card. You use it to while away time. Many of them resort back to us in giving us cash. But really, it's not the cash. It's that he wants to offer you a life. I was asking the other time, I said, what is the occupation? Another thing is that the world wants to give you occupation. So it comes in various forms and shades that look like them. What is about it? No, what is about it is that you should see this present world as a thing to use and dump. Use lightly, not Kobami. You have all the skill of it, but yet it's like what do you call toilet roll. When you use it, what do? Discard it. If you don't discard it, it can begin to dirty your hand. Same toilet roll has stains, have you? I see the particles. And because it stays long in your hand. It's not meant to stay too long in your hand. And that's the sense of it. All the fashion of it, the goal of it, is to have to leave a sense of satisfaction in your whole soul. You need light. It's not abstinence. It's light. To make it used lightly and drop it. Have you ever been to the shopping before? I want to go and shop and the things you saw there, you get home, you are trying to describe it. It can take you hours talking about it. Or some of you will belong to football. How many of you? Arsenal. Man U. What's on? Chelsea. What's the other one? Liverpool. But really, really, really speaking, what are they? Just games to take your time to win sometimes. There's nothing really hard. When your heart goes to it, because they're going to have palpitation. That's how the word is to souls. Honestly speaking, there's nothing about it. There's nothing about it. When I was younger, each time Nigerian is playing, I normally have headache. Headache. Nigeria can make you have headache. They don't play and give a clear demarcation. They play in the manner you'll be palpitation. Let's just score one goal now. Let them not score one goal now. So play a match and have 3-0 straight. So you can be resting. Lie. It's 1-0 that they can cancel in 10 minutes to go. Anything can happen. So I told myself, I said, Erolepa. What does it mean? You see this screen, but your soul and passion has been disconnected. And that's how our life in understanding should be doing on many things. Just go in light, you disconnect. Go in light, you disconnect. As you're disconnecting, you're getting freer. We need to see God. And if our eyes are not clear open, we won't see God. So, the everlasting light is an engagement tool to dislodge from us laws of this present world. The love of the world is not denary. It's controlled by laws, principles, reasonings. Jesus tried to talk about it in the scriptures. They can't still get it because it's a mystery. So it means that there's no single message that can unleash it. We'll be knowing it gradually. All of this is just to open our eyes to awareness so that when the light is coming to inform us, we can respond to it. It's an inward working that you just know that, I'm getting freer from these things. I'm getting freer. I'm just the anxieties. The first one, call it carousin. Carousin. The word used the carousin and the cares of this life. And that one will cares worries. So when you are 70, the worry will not stop. Your children will be having children. And your children will be your concern. But now it's only your children that is your concern, Abby. It's not stopping there. The same law that holds you down to them will transfer to their own children. You'll be grandpa. And you worry more than their parents. It's not just where you are. It's a law within you. The law wins is engage us. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. By the end of this season we are into, we gain wisdom on how to save life. How to gather life. How to abound in life. How to have life more abundantly. How to use life for life to be multiplied. I said we'll be wise. Our business will come down to life transactions. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We use the living light laws and we have breakthrough to true lights. They will say concerning you, the darkness is past already. You know that thing called darkness is love of this world. Because it's a light. Darkness is past already And now the true light shineth. That's when life will start piling up. In the day of the true light, the light, life begins to pile up. Abound. For the true light, you are still wrestling. You are still exchanging darkness with light. You are still engaging. You are still trading. But as time moves beyond that point, you move to the realm of abundance of life. In your home, in your businesses, you'll be transacting life. You'll be governing darknesses. You'll be governing ignorances. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You will know how to give men life. If your brother sin is sin, not unto death, you shall give him life. If you don't have abundance, how will you give? If you are still managing your own. So the brother that will give him life, actually is a brother that has abundance of life. Thou shalt give him life, for then that sin not unto death. I said, in this season, you'll be a giver of life. Your currency will be life. When you're in the house, you'll be seeing how many people are lacking life here. You'll be seeing how many people whose life is reducing here. You'll be seeing how many people are struggling with life here. Your trade will not only be that you are giving them food in this place. Rather, you will supply life to them. In our community, there will be abundance of life. Nobody will be struggling anymore. We will have life to give. Is it life? More life. Life more abundantly. That will be the transaction. The eyes of our understanding will be enlightened to a point that we can use the divine light. In thy light shall we see light. I leave with you here blessings. I leave with you here help. For this whole community, your transaction upgraded in this season. Grace is given to the house more. That you can use the light of eternal life. So we are in him that is true. We are in his son, Jesus Christ. Say, this is the true God and eternal life. The true God and eternal life is the light of the everlasting. I say to you today, you will use that true God light. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, my dear Father. Come on, appreciate the Lord for today. Give him glory and praise today.
We believe you have been enlightened through the ministry of the Word and Spirit, bringing you into a much deeper understanding of God's eternal purpose and plan. To find out more about us and our meetings, visit us at 12 Akinyemi Street off Allen Road, Ikeja, Lagos. You can also contact us on our website at www.lostyouchurch.org or call us on +234 9042 850714. Remain blessed.